Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Anand Rathi Limited Q2 H1 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Feroze Azeez, Deputy CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Good evening, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks to join us for the earnings conference call of the quarter and the half year ended 30th September 2022. I am joined with Mr. Jugal Mantri, our CFO, Group CFO, Rajesh Bhutara, who's our CFO, Vishal Sanghavi, who's our head IR, Chetan Shenoy, Director and Head Product and Research, and we're also joined by the SGA team, which is our investor relations advisors. Let me begin with sharing a piece of good news from our perspective. In the recently published report by AMFI for the financial year FY22, we were ranked among the top three non-bank mutual fund distributor as per gross commission. Over the previous financial year, the growth in the mutual fund trail revenues was almost about 72%. In the B2C category, we were the highest if you exclude the aggregator B2B business models. Now coming to the strong performance we've had in this financial in this half year, not just on the flagship business, but on all three of the businesses, including the digital wealth and the omni-financial channel vertical as well. Our flagship business, private wealth, grew by about 15% year-on-year on AUM, in spite of a very lackluster market and a 3% downtick on Nifty over 30th September both years, and a 9% increase quarter-on-quarter on the AUM, on the back of huge penetration into the wallets, especially during sideways movements or bad markets and uncertainties. You're able to establish your credibility as a wealth outfit much better during bad times. Penetration has resulted in AUM increase, and also clients refer you more clients during when their friends are struggling with other managers. That's why our net mobilization numbers have doubled when compared to the same period previous year. Gives us immense confidence during sideways movements and not such great times and more volatile times, if you're able to do well, and during good times, the AUMs also increase because of the market movement and also due to the sentiment where people want to invest more money. Bad times, penetration and references become higher, and the other two growth verticals do very well during great times. Both correlated variables help you during opposite times. That's why you see almost about 111% jump in our net mobilization numbers for the first half year. Of course, you would have read that we had a great increase in our client base. In terms of year-on-year, we've had a growth of 19% in terms of client addition, and we are inching towards our target of 10,000 families in a calibrated fashion. The pace of client addition is seeing a very sharp tick as well. On the digital wealth vertical, the AUM has increased by about 23% to 949 crores, which is a business which helps us standardize and scale it using the help of technology. Also helps us be abreast with the changes in technology which can be there in our business on the private wealth side as well. Clients have grown by about 14% year-on-year to 4,065 clients in the digital wealth vertical. The OFA business is a strategic extension for capturing wealth management landscape to service retail clients through mutual fund distribution by using a SaaS platform or providing them technology platform. As on 30th of September, we had close to about 5,500 mutual fund distributors associated with us, with the asset under administration and reporting of about 85,900 crores, which we currently only monetize as a subscription fee, but later in the life of this business, when we find appropriate, could be an important monetizing tool. So I personally think that I will stop here, and I will request Mr. Jugal Mantri to say a few words and take us through the financial numbers as well.
Thank you very much, Firoz Bhai. Good afternoon to all. Let me also first begin with a happy note to share that the Board of Directors has declared an interim dividend of Rs. 5 per equity share, which is 100% of the face value. This is in line with the company's endeavor to regularly reward its shareholders. Despite all the external challenges, the company and its subsidiaries have posted a strong performance for the quarter and half year ended September 2022, backed by an overall improvement in operational efficiencies. Our consolidated AUM as on 30th September 2022 stood at Rs. 35,842 crores, which registered a growth of 16% YOY and 9% Q-on-Q. Our consolidated revenue for the quarter ended 30th September 2022 stood at Rs. 138 crores, as against Rs. 104 crores in Q2 FY22, registering a growth of 33%, while revenue for first half in financial year 23 stood at Rs. 272 crores as compared to Rs. 202 crores in the previous first half of financial year 2022, registering a growth of 34%. Our PBT for the quarter stood at Rs. 58 crores, registering a growth of 40%, whereas PBT for H1 FY23 stood at Rs. 110 crores, registering a growth of 37%. Our PAT for the quarter stood at a healthy Rs. 43 crores, registering a growth of 41% as compared to Rs. 30 crores in Q2 FY22. PAT for H1 FY23 registered a growth of 37% and stood at Rs. 83 crores. PAT margin stood at 31.1% in Q2 FY23 and 30.4% in H1 FY23. EPS earning per share for Q2 FY23 stood at Rs. 10.3 per share, and for first half FY23 stood at Rs. 19.8 per share, registering a growth of 41% and 37% YOY respectively. Return on equity for first half ended 30th September 2022 stood at a healthy 43%, which was 41.7% in financial year FY22. Another area where we witnessed a strong momentum was the addition in number of client families. We have added almost 1,250 client families compared to same period last year. Our total client families as on 30th September 2022 stood at 7,928. In the last 12 months, we have added 37 relationship managers on the net basis. We continue to remain optimistic about the business potential and will drive towards our vision while assisting our clients achieve high quality experience in the journey of wealth solution. With this, we will now open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you. Over to you, Rutuja.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, the first question was on the gross inflows. If you could share what was the gross inflows for the quarter and split it across equity, debt, MF, and the primary and secondary indications.
Okay. Gross or net, you mean?
Gross and net both, essentially.
See, we only look at net because mutual funds, when they exit one fund and they're recalibrating their portfolios to our model portfolio, there could be very large gross numbers, right? In a mutual fund, if I have five schemes, which I'm changing three, then the gross number will be very deceptive. So net number, I can give you some color on that. And gross number is very, very distorted. Does that answer? Well, yeah, of course, from the MLD standpoint, gross numbers and net numbers can be given to you, and I'm sure Jugal Ji and Rajesh Ji will be able to add there. So now coming to the net number, which is almost about 2,500 crores for the first half year, a large portion of that, which is almost two-thirds of it, goes into equity mutual fund because we believe that when markets fall, and if you've seasoned your investors to expect a market fall because that's the nature of the beast, they don't look for reasons for the fall, but they're in a hurry to actually take action. So last 6 months, markets have averaged been lower than they were in the previous 6 months. Hence, we've had a net mobilization largely in the equity mutual fund side of almost about 1,500 crores-1,600 crores. And from an industry standpoint, if you leave SIPs out, the total net mobilization in the mutual fund, equity mutual fund, has been 79,000 crores for the first 6 months. And if you leave the SIP number of average 12,300 crores, then the total net mobilization in terms of lump sum, which is the business we are in, unlike several other aggregators, was total about 6,000-7,000, out of which 1,400-1,500 or even a little more has been our market share in terms of net mobilization. And it gives us immense pleasure because we are buying low and creating a potential for higher return for our clients. Otherwise, it's an academic statement to buy low. Jugal Ji, if you may want to add a few points, and if there are some gross numbers which Rajesh Ji will have on the MLD side, there will be.
No, you are bang on number that in the first half, we have added about 1,650 crore rupees in mutual fund, equity mutual fund. And there was some exit in debt of about 200 crore rupees. So net addition was about 1,500 crore rupees in equity mutual fund. And in case of MLD, there was addition of about 725 crore rupees. And a small addition was there in other products to the tune of 300 crore rupees. So all put together, there was net accretion of 2,500 crore rupees in the first half.
Sir, MLD gross?
The MLD gross issuance was about 2,300 crore rupees.
Okay. And split between fresh and primary and secondary within that?
So it's all primary, no?
It's all primary.
So out of 2,300 crore rupees, largely it is primary only.
Sure, sir.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Sir, second question was, Mr. Amit Rathi has resigned from the directorship. So just want to understand the reason for the same. And are we looking at any replacement for him on the board?
So, Rohan, as you are aware, since you have been associated with us, so Mr. Amit Rathi, since last 3 years, he has been playing non-executive role in Anand Rathi Wealth Limited. So he was non-executive director on the board. And having been decided to pursue his ventures in the financial services and to avoid any conflict of interest or overlapping, he has opted to be relieved from his position as non-executive director. So there is no, we have got independent directors, more than four independent directors, which are more adequate and as per requisite requirement of the company's law. So we don't see that there'll be any requirement to have any addition on account of any non-executive director on the board.
Awesome. Sir, thirdly, if you can share, what would be the trail income coverage of fixed cost for 2Q?
Rajesh Ji?
did real income in fact. See, we have seen good traction in the trail income also, and as of now, the trail income, which is getting covered, so it is largely about 85% of the fixed cost that gets covered by the trail income.
I would like to add one thing, Jivati.
Yes, please.
So we've had a 33% increase in trail income between the same periods of the first half year this year. So the increase is 33%. Overall revenue increase is about 35%. In spite of markets not supportive, if they had supported, then the ratios could have been far better. So our internal target of having 50% trail and 50% upfront revenues from different sources remains, and we are inching towards that. Is what is our stance, internal targets of getting to 50-50. And of course, like Jugalji said, 85 to 90% of the trail revenue covers the fixed costs currently.
Sure, sir. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue if you have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohan.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Dagash Shah from Motilal Oswal Private Limited. Please go ahead.
First question is, what is your growth outlook on clients with the, within the 50 lakh to 10 CR bracket?
Growth outlook in the 50 lakh to 10 CR bracket. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Our focus segment is 5 to 50 crores of balance sheet size. Okay, so we don't look at 50 lakhs to 10 crores. If somebody has got, apart from the assets he currently consumes, the house he lives in is not counted. If the person has between 5 to 50 crore balance sheet size, putting all assets together, then is my target segment. In that segment, we think our growth of 20-25% in client set is what is our projection from our business standpoint. Of course, the pie is expanding at a similar pace from this segment perspective. So getting the similar growth numbers for our business should be possible, given the fact that now that we have been a listed company for close to a year, it creates a perception, or at least creates a basic governance kind of a mindset, and that helps you acquire more clients. So 20-25% growth in the target segment, which we currently operate. Do we mandate a client to start with 5 crores? The answer is no. We start them with 50 lakhs to a crore as well, because if we are able to deliver what's the expectation we are creating in the minds of the client over a period of time, he gives us a larger wallet share, because we are very mathematical when it comes to giving our advice.
Right. And sir, what would be the cost of AUM acquisition in this bracket versus the above 50 CR bracket?
See, the cost of acquisition is cost of acquisition of AUM.
Cost of AUM acquisition, I'm not looking for a direct number, but whether this would be higher than the 50 crore and above bracket or not, just if you could give some color on that.
See, the cost of acquisition and AUM addition is negligible. What it is now, if I have RMs who are, I don't have a separate acquisition engine which acquires the client. So RMs are the person who take references from existing clients, and I don't pay existing clients to refer me people. But over a period of time, every decision we take, we give mathematics for our clients better prudence in terms of decision making. For example, now if somebody said that he's got 40% of his money in real estate, I would compute the per annum return of his real estate portfolio, which he would have never computed. None of us as Indians compute what is the per annum return of a real estate portfolio and still have half our money there. Quite a few HNIs do. So when I compute and show him that he's got 8% compounded return in multiples of value, it'll look larger. But when he sees 8%, then it is an eye-opener for him. Then he's putting his property on an anvil to sell, which I don't pay any cost for. And then when he sells those properties, he consolidates money with us. So if he says I'm doing very well in mutual fund, then I take a transaction dump from him and then tell him if he followed my model portfolio, he would be richer or poorer. If he is richer, then he sells his mutual funds from competition or transfers broker code to us. So everything is mathematical. So there's no cost which can be ascertained to asset acquisition. For client acquisition, if you say what is the cost, I would say there will be some cost because I do physical events as well. Pre-COVID, we used to do a lot of physical events in five-star hotels where you get 200 HNIs in a room and give them a presentation. Those are now far and few between, but every event used to cost us an average of 5.6 lakhs, which in this financial year would be 4-5 such physical events, which could have gone up to almost 30-40 events before COVID. So our cost remains low because we have done about 100 odd webinars where there are about 30-40 participants each as an average, and there is no cost to that currently.
Right. And lastly, sir, how do you see the digital wealth segment scaling up and what do you see are the key challenges?
See, digital wealth, if you ask me, the key challenges there are to have a ever-changing technology to make sure that we not just succumbing to what market does in the digital space, because in the digital space, people are focusing on reporting. We are looking at technology to create advice. More than report, because reporting is one element of it. So, and execution. So technology for execution and reporting has reached the epitome in the industry of fintech business. But advice creation mathematically and using technology for that is what I think is the challenge which the industry faces. From our perspective, for us to have a digital wealth presence is to create a standardized offering, which is what we have. We just run 4 portfolios. In spite of having a private wealth outfit with 8,000 families approximately, I try and fit all the clients to 4 portfolios, which are centrally managed and implemented in different markets. So if you speak to a Delhi private banker or RM and speak to a Bangalore guy, he's going to give you very, very similar, if not identical, advice. So if I have a standardized proposition in the private wealth business, it makes sense for me to see how I can power my RM to not manage 50 clients but manage 200 clients with technology. So it's always going to be a digital model. It's not going to be a pure digital model, assuming a US kind of an extrapolation to the Indian context, which is the behavioral patterns are very different. US has been investing in capital markets ancestrally. In India, my dad never invested in equity. So extrapolating the technology strategies there to this side of the world may not be as relevant. So coming back to your pointed question, on the technology side, the biggest challenge is to use technology to create advice. Our key strength has been standardization. In spite of standardization not having a huge appeal in our HNI, it's difficult to tell him that, sir, I will not customize, I will standardize. But finance will reach clients only if you standardize. You can't run 8,000 different portfolios and leave the judgment to 270 RMs and assume that he will get the best efficient portfolio, right? So that's our strategy. So if I have a standardized, if I have been able to bring 270 RMs to the same page that we all give away our individuality and create similar portfolios, I am the best poised to use technology to scale. Because the toughest part is to convince the client that you don't need customization. Customization might sound fancy, it is more marketing, but finance will never reach you if you customize a portfolio. Because the guy who's sitting there in Bangalore or in Coimbatore will not know the best finance to create risk rewards which are efficient. It's like an asset management company saying the sales guy will be the fund manager.
Right. Thank you for the color, sir. That's all from my side.
Yeah, sir. Sorry, a longish answer to a very pointed question, but couldn't have articulated that in a few words for my perspective.
No, the color has. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayanika Garwal from Incred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Mayank from Incred. So my first question is regarding the RM addition. So we have not added RM for last 2-3 quarters. What our strategy going ahead, and in this also what we have learned is that we also add some AM to RM. So what would be your plan going ahead? How many AM would you be making RMs, and how would your ratio between RM and AM, the AM would be converted to RM going ahead? And second question is our data point. Can I get a revenue breakup between mutual funds, other security and other? which you usually gave last quarter. Yeah, thank you.
I didn't hear your second question though.
What is the revenue breakup between mutual fund, other security and IT enable and other? So basically you gave the data up to last quarter.
Yeah, sure. So firstly, let me throw some light on the RM addition. Our RM addition strategy is going to be completely driven by how many people whom we can currently absorb and make them sizable RMs. So over the last 1 year, given the uncertainty, we have gone a little slow. We've still added about 30 plus RMs from the AM fraternity largely. Lateral hires also happened. Currently, we continue to follow the principle of one relationship manager mentoring one AM, which has worked beautifully for us. We have a small group of people who need to reach 40-50 crores of assets, and that 70 RMs is the limit we put. So if those RMs cross the bridge, then I have more capacity to transmit the rest of them from the AM to the RM fraternity. So even if I delay an AM's promotion by 3-4 months, it just solidifies his and increases his chance of success when he actually transforms into an RM. So what will we currently look at? We think that this ratio, because we have not promoted as many, there is more ripe individuals who are currently potential RMs. So you may see an inverse correlation between the RMs promoted to what can be promoted, because the rest of them have, you've created a larger pipeline in the interim period. And from an AUM breakup standpoint, I can just tell you conceptually, and Jugalji is the best person to answer very, very pointed numbers. So when we look at a client strategy, we look at two-thirds of the money in mutual fund, one-third in MLDs, and some work in progress, which is raw material coming for alignment into these two products, largely, as we recommend only these two, three products today, including debt, equity, mutual funds, and MLDs. So you would see a very similar proportion. It's not academic that these proportions are not being followed in the marketplace. So that's why you will see almost about 18, 20,000 crores of mutual fund assets, about 9, 10,000 crores of MLDs, and there is a lot of money which is work in progress, which first moves to our DMAT account, and then we align it to our strategy, where the client gets efficiency as the prime driver and decision-making criteria. Jugal sir, if you may want to add a few things and give pointed numbers.
So I think what you said is that in terms of the relationship manager addition team, one thing is which is absolutely clear is that besides 271 relationship manager, we have got a strong force of 265 account manager. And as you have rightly said that the addition or to the RM fraternity, that is a graded process. And these people are upgraded and added to the RM fraternity over a period of time. So just to answer what Mayank has asked, to reaffirm that we have got a very, very strong force which is up for elevation in next 18 to 36 months time. And that itself has got the potential to double our RM force to almost 500 plus number of RMs.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devesh Agarwal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and many congratulations for good set of numbers. I wanted to understand better the MLD gross inflows number that you shared. You said 2300 crore is the number for the first half, and if I recollect rightly, in the first quarter it was 1500 crore. So for the second quarter, are we talking about 800 crore of gross inflows in MLDs?
In the first quarter, the gross issuance was 1100 crore rupees. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in the second quarter, it is 1235 crore rupees.
So was it, sir, 11,400 of secondary issue?
Out of 1,100, 350 was secondary issue, right? And this quarter, the secondary number is 180.
180. Okay. So broadly, the yield that we are getting this time is around 7.5% on the entire MLD portfolio.
Yeah, around that.
Around that. Right. Perfect. And so secondly, basically in the past you have said that first half is generally weaker compared to...
You please continue, by the way.
No, please continue.
No, the yield which was about 7.5 in the first quarter, that is around 7% in the Q2.
Sir, generally you have said in the past that our first half is relatively weaker and second half is much stronger. And we have already achieved 83 crore of PAT in the first half versus our guidance of 155 crore for FY23. So, is it this time you think that the two halves will be equal, or you are looking to upgrade your FY23 guidance?
So, I don't see any reason that second half will be equal. Historically, what we have seen, that will definitely, that holds true, and I am sure that the second half will also move in the similar fashion as it has happened in the past also. And as far as guidance concerned, we have already achieved 50%, 53% of the guidance which have been given on the profitability front. So, but internally our belief is that as long as your performance or the likely performance, if it is in the range of say 10% of the guidance given, though it can be like 5 to 10% of overachievement, let the guidance remain same instead of keep on tweaking number on every quarterly basis. So that is why we are sticking to the guidance which have been given in the, at the beginning of the year. Hello. So there is just to reaffirm that the guidance which we have given, we are still holding that, and we don't see any reason to believe that this year's second half will not be in line with what has happened in the history.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the very best. Thank you.
David, I would like to clarify one thing.
Yeah.
This is a very important thing. See, when you said yield is 7.5, like Jugalji said, yield is 7. Yield is a number which generally in our business is referred to the per annum income of a specific instrument. Okay. So when you look at an upfront of something which is a 5-year instrument, if I calibrate the yield on the market, average market value of all the 1,000-odd products which have matured is about 1.17% per annum. Okay. And that will be the yield. Yield is always per annum generally.
Annualized.
Right? So annualized yield, what happens in a mutual fund, like for example, I found my 11 mutual fund model portfolio, which I buy for myself, and most of our clients end up buying the same 11 mutual funds, I make 1.11% post GST. Okay? With that 7% number, it might make you believe that you're earning more on mutual fund, on MLDs. If your mutual funds commissions are on market value, face value recognition of 7% is on face value. Right? If the product gives you a 13% IRR, then if you have to look at the market value, average market value, because 92% of our MLDs which have matured have given the desired coupon. None of them have ever lost capital in spite of 1024 maturities being done from December 2012. We have made issuances. So point I'm trying to get to is, anybody looking at our business thinking that yield of MLD is 7% may be looking at, that is not the yield. Yield has to, now when I look at bond portfolio, bond yields mean the per annum yield at the purchase price in the secondary market. So that's what I wanted to clarify. We, out of curiosity, worked backwards to find out the 1,000 maturities, what did I end up making per annum? So if tomorrow, if I don't want to do an MLD, an equity mutual fund will give me the same yield. It's only accounting difference from an upfront to a trail basis.
Yeah, that is very very clear. Just wanted to know one more thing. The average duration of our MLDs is now 5 years, what we are selling?
Yes. So what we have is, we all our decisions are driven by client objective. After COVID and given the where markets reached, we thought that an MLD, which is a 3-year MLD, has a lesser probability of success because the 2-year additional, and that's why August 2020 we did a lot of mathematics and realized that even if 1 year gets wasted in a 5-year product, you still have 4 years to achieve your targets on Nifty because these are Nifty linked MLDs. If I take a 3-year product and like you see, the 1 year got wasted, right? Last October to now, market has not done anything. So if I buy a 3-year product, then I have to make up for the lost ground in 2 years. So the probabilities of success for my client goes up as 5 years. That's why it's 5 years. It might optically look at I wanted to make more money upfront is why it is 5 years. So I'm clarifying it. Everything in our company emanates from client objective. Period.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirmal Bari from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on the very good numbers. Am I audible clearly?
Very clearly, sir.
Okay, thanks. So my first question is that 12% of our AUM which sits in others. So what is that and what kind of revenue do we generate over there?
The others could be PMS transfers. When we look at, we don't recommend PMS because we have mathematically seen efficiency doesn't happen in PMSs because of the higher standardity. So, but the client has PMSs, so I take a broker code transfer, and then so if it is PMSs, there is revenue which comes to me. If it is tax-free bonds which are work in progress, if it is stocks which are work in progress, those are the three large categories in the others, which we take as raw material to converge to our strategy. Because when I meet a client, he has a 5-7 crore balance sheet. He says, okay, I give you 1 crore which is liquid. I have 1 crore mutual funds. I'm transferring broker code to you. But the other 2 crores is sitting in the DMAT account. Take it. I have one PMS. I can transfer it to you. I have insurance policies with different people. Exit them over a period. So that's what is my work in progress, WIP. So coming back to your pointed question, what do I earn on it? There are three different categories largely, out of which direct equity and tax-free bonds we don't earn. In PMS transfers, we start earning from day one. Unlike in mutual funds, COBs, change of brokers don't give commissions from first day. PMSs do. So it's reasonably different. But yeah, that's still work in progress. And that goes back to my specific yields of 1-1.5%, which I make on these two products, plus the debt mutual fund, which gives us 40-50 paisa trade.
And the second question was on the quantum of MLDs. We did about 2,300 crores of MLDs. Now, if I look at our AUM of roughly 35,000 crores and 30% of that being in MLDs, that's 10,500 crores. Now, with an average 5-year kind of maturity, we would, I'm simply dividing it by 5, the annual rollover, just the rollover part of it would be about 2,100 odd crores, and then whatever the growth we are doing in. But in the H1 itself, we have done 2,300 crores. So is there a risk that in H2, the quantum of MLDs would be significantly lower?
In fact, the maturities are very, very healthy. Let me not put a number to it. So what happens is, that whatever you issued 3 years back is not coming back with as capital. It's coming back with an appreciation. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So if you ask me, how is our maturity pipelines over the next few years? Very, very healthy. Second, what kind of proportions do clients roll over? When we had done it during IPOs, it was 78% of our clients are repeat buyers. Does that continue? Does it become stronger with credibility? We have improved credibility further because we have been issuing for 10 years. So 10 years, to say that I've been issuing for 10 years, I've finished 1,000 maturities, which is, might be the largest, I don't know the number, but one of the largest issuances plus maturity, the credibility increases. So repeat buying becomes more and more solidified. Unless I tell him to put 5% as a company into equity mutual fund, which we did last year, money get rolled over. As per the gaps which are there in the products which we do as the decision-making criteria. If somebody has given me 100 rupees, or if you have a balance sheet of 100 rupees, if you have decided 55 goes into equity mutual fund, 30 goes into MLDs, and 20 goes into debt, or 10 goes into debt, anytime he has fresh funds, the allocation happens as per the gap in the decided allocation. And that's how straight-jacketed advice in our company has gotten.
So, we are not looking at the economic
view. Sorry, you were not audible at the last part. Jugal ji, please feel free to add whatever you want to add.
Yes.
So, it's perfect. I think Nirmal must have understood that when you are talking about the MLD value, whether it is 9,500 crore rupees of as of now the book which is there, and as Firoz bhai has told that even if you take a mean appreciation of 60% on the AUM in the next 5 years, your 10,000 crore can become 16,000 crore rupees. And now if you divide by 5, you will see that annual issuance, even if there is a rollover of 90 to 95% of 3,200 crore rupees annual maturities, which could be, that can translate into the assured business of around 3,000 crore rupees new MLD issuance. Is it clear, Nirmal?
Yeah, that's clear.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Does that answer your question, Mr. Nirmal?
Not sure.
Hello?
My audio.
Mr. Nirmal, your voice is breaking, sir. As there is no response from the participant, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Senthil Kumar from Joindre Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I want to understand the management's outlook on AUM guidance of 39,000 crores for FY23. So in the first half of FY23, AUM increased by 16% to ₹35,842 crores. I could see 17% drop in private wealth AUM inflow in second quarter on sequential basis. And another thing is, you know, only 14% incremental AUM guidance is achieved in Q2 FY23 against the 27% in first quarter. So on back of this, is the management confident of achieving AUM target in the second half of FY23?
So let me take that.
Okay.
So Jugal ji, you want to add something first?
No, you can go ahead. I'll add it. No issue on that.
See, our AUM addition comes from two forces, right? One is the new money you bring in and the change in the market value of the underlying 35,000 crores approximately, right? So over the last 1 year, the mark to markets have not been a huge contributor. Average, they end up contributing over the long term of 10 to 12%. Since you have not got support from there, is why you are at 16% AUM growth. Are we confident to achieve the guidance on the AUM bit? Very, very confident. Of course, not if the market fell 20%, right? Because it has two components. But are we confident to add similar numbers in terms of net mobilization for this 6 months, but for the next 10 years and growing? So because there is an element of external variable which will dictate the AUM, net mobilization, which is fresh monies, we think will become better in the second half from the 2,500 crores. So our internal target for the first 6 months was 500 crores per month. Of course, we marginally fell short to 2,500 crores. The target continues to add. So if the markets don't disappoint extensively, we will surely meet, we should most likely meet our AUM guidance. Jugal sir?
No, I think you have very aptly answered that we should not look at the AUM which is driven largely from the Nifty performance. Reason being, in case if you look at the AUM on say 17th August, when market is around say 17,900, you will find that the AUM is up whatever we have been discussing, it is higher by another 4 to 5%. So as you rightly said that the Nifty, which was say around 17,500 on 31st March, and it is almost 2.5-3% down compared to that. In spite of that, in case if we have achieved the growth in AUM, besides taking any credit on account of the average appreciation in the equity related portfolio, that is quite impressive. And once that gets factored in, definitely will be much more than the target or the guidance which has been given by us. Is it clear, Mr. Senthil?
To achieve a target of 39,000,
first
we have achieved
35,840. Your audio isn't clear.
I'm clear now?
Yeah, if you can speak up a little, it will be very audible.
So achieve a AM guidance of 39,000 crores, in the first half we have achieved 35,843. So remaining balance of the second half we have to achieve 3,157 crores of AM. So if it is 3,157 crores, how much the proportionate mix between the two components, as you said, new AM inflow and the market momentum? The breakup between the two components, how much the management is expecting from this figure?
See, like I told you, our internal target for this year is to bring 500 crores of new money every single month. Okay. Market movement can sometimes give you a fillip. Unlike the last quarter, market didn't give you a fillip because we ended, because AUM is a picture, photograph. Right? But the new money you bring is like a movie. It's a continuous variable. So, to answer your pointed question, I told you our internal target in terms of the fresh monies which need to come on a monthly basis. So if that's 6 into 500, that's 3,000. That's our internal target to add new money. Now, whatever is the differential, we have to hope and pray that the market movement or the value of the MLDs also go up, debt also goes up. So overall, client portfolios, if they grew by 6, 7, 8% also this financial year, we'll be able to meet that number. And anyways, AUM is the most fluid number. As you look at a 5-year investing, 4-year investing, our AUMs are best poised because we are now in the non-bank B2C category. We are the largest equity mutual fund holder. Okay, with some as of now. That's what CAMS data tells me. Now, if we have a target of capturing in the next few years or even a decade, a 3 to 4% of the market share of the entire equity mutual funds in India, will we get it linearly? The answer is no. But today, from whatever we have as a market share on the equity mutual fund, which is close to a percent, we want to take that to 3-4% because that's what we want to master in, right? The equity mutual fund, because we don't do PMSs, we don't do AIFs, we don't do private equity, we don't do unlisted stock, we don't do REITs, we don't do InvITs. Because all those I don't buy myself, so I don't give it to my clients. So our focus on AUM addition is going to be paramount. Of course, the fluidity because of its market mark-to-market nature is why I'm not giving you a pointed answer, but I've definitely given you my internal target to achieve on the net mobilization.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lalit Dev from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, just wanted to understand on the MLD issuance part. So, of the 1200 crores of MLD which has been issued in Q2, so could you break it down between the issuances of our promised our group company and the
Sorry to interrupt you. Your audio is not clear at all, so I'm not able to pick up. I'm sure Jugalji, are you able to hear sir's question?
No, Lalit. It is a completely jumbled up voice which we are getting.
Hello?
Yeah, there was an echo. Now,
Mr. Lalit, can you please speak a little bit louder? We cannot hear
now,
you, sir.
Now, is it audible?
Perfect.
Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, sir, on the
which we have done in this quarter. So could you break it down between the group company issuances and the Edelweiss issuances? Like how much would we have distributed?
Yeah, Rajeshji, can you give us the split? And Jugalji, sir, if you can add something, yeah. So the ratios are. Rajesh, if you can give the precise numbers.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay. So let me tell you. Whenever we launched a product, we approved them in October, November last year. So in few months where we had the product, 5, 7, 8 months we have done. 1 or 2 months we have not done their issuance because there is a name change from Edelweiss to the PAG entity, and we are waiting for that whole thing to happen. We are very selective about which issuer we take. That's why for the last 3-4 years we had no issuer other than the internal one, sister company, which is ARGFL. So the ratios were as much as 1/3, 2/3 internal, 1/3 external. That's the approximate weightage between the two issuers which we had. So from 0 external to 1/3 external or even 40% in a few months is what the conceptually the order of magnitude numbers were.
Sure, sir. And so, in last quarter we had highlighted that the employee expenses would typically range about 45% of the overall revenues. But however, in this quarter, it has further improved to about 43%. So just wanted to understand from the trajectory from here on. So would we see that this number could further improve, or like what could be the outlook on this front on the employee expenses front?
Jugal sir?
We are working on an operating leverage ratio of about 1.8. Okay, so wherever you see that the revenue goes up, that the cost will have the positive impact on the cost. So this number, but the broad range will remain, say, between 42 to 45%. That would be the employee cost range. Okay, so you can definitely, in case if we have the similar quantum jump in the revenue, definitely there could be some improvement on that cost front, but that would be very, very marginal.
Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande, an individual investor. As there is no response from the participant, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Rohan Mandodra from Equitas Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. In terms of new flows that we had got, what proportion of that was coming from new clients that were acquired during the quarter?
Yeah, sure. I can tell you the approximate number. When we acquired close to 150 clients a month, the average ticket size which people start with is 80 to 90 lakhs. So I'm just telling you approximate numbers. So maybe 1/3 from new clients and 2/3 from existing ones. Does that answer, Rohan, right?
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jugal Mantri, Group CFO, for closing comments.
Thanks, Rutuja, and all the participants for your active participation. I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with our IR head, Mr. Vishal Sanghvi, or our CFO, Mr. Rajesh Bhutra, or Strategic Growth Advisor, or Investor Relations Advisor. Lastly, on behalf of the management, I would like to wish everyone a very happy Diwali and a prosperous new Samvat year to each one of you in advance. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Balji, Rajeshji, Vishanji, Chetan. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Anand Rathi Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.